Life is real. And this morning, I want you to notice something in Scripture that really, really, really reaches out to each and every one of us. And it's a punctuation mark. We call it a comma. It's just that pause that we're supposed to make. A pause in a sentence. Not the end of a sentence, but the pause, the comma. So as we look at God's Word, we understand the problem, and we also understand the solution, and we also understand the fact. The fact is, you will handle those problems in accordance with which side of the comma you live on. Which side of the comma you live on, you work in, you talk about. When disaster strikes, listen to Apostle Paul. What is it, 3 shipwrecks, 5 stonings? Or is that reversed? I've studied for a long time. You all don't remember either. It doesn't matter. Sounds about right. In problems all the time. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? We're hard pressed on every side. You get up that particular morning, could have been this morning, and nothing goes right. Absolutely nothing. And even the process of trying to make it right, you mess it up. And Paul says, look, I want to tell those of you in Corinth here, I want you to know me. And they did. Do you remember all the problems you know that's gone on in my life? Yep. We know also, Paul, that you brought most of them on. And he did. But he had a special calling. And in that calling in your life, you will bring on a whole lot of hurt and pain to your life. By just being you. See, you can't change who you are. A leper cannot change his spots. You might train the leper not to attack you, but the leper's spots are still there. You are you. And our whole life is spent on the Holy Spirit training us, teaching us. And our whole life seems to be spent on us trying to keep from getting taught so much. Well, Lord, if you teach me this, then I'm going to recognize this sin in my life. Then I got to give it up. I want to sit over here and pretend I'm ignorant. Well, you're not pretending. If you sit away from God's protection, you're ignorant. No pretense to it. But the left side of this comma says, we are hard pressed on every side. Comma. Pause. But, listen to Paul, not crushed. You know, I think after being hit by rocks as many times as he had, he would have felt pretty crushed. Do you ever feel crushed in your spirit? I have. Do you ever feel like many times just quitting? I'll bring my hand down when I'm not guilty. Do you ever feel like in your life that everything you say is wrong? Did you ever feel like in your life that you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel of the change in America? I have hope in my heart. I don't see the light. You know why? Because the light is not another human being or a society or a government. The light at the end of the tunnel happens to be the light at the beginning of the tunnel and through the tunnel. And that light is the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, alive in us. I don't need to see the light at the end of that tunnel. The light is in me. I can see through the darkness. But the hurt and the pain is there. Why? Because there's problems. And those problems seem to build up to tragedy. Now what Paul was doing is recognizing, here's the problem. Here's what's going on. And if he just stopped there, he could have ended up saying, woe is me, woe is me. But he didn't. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed. Did you ever just stand there with your mouth open, not knowing how to answer or what to do? Yeah. Just perplexed at the whole situation. I have no idea. Did you ever get to the point, and you've dealt with troubles and problems and all of these disasters so much in your life that not only are you so perplexed, you don't even know what you're perplexed over. That's how much they build up. But Paul says, perplexed, comma, but not in despair. Being perplexed, being overwhelmed. That's what disaster does. Disaster overwhelms you. It overwhelms a nation. It overwhelms an individual. And when that disaster strikes, we're standing there with our mouth open and we're just freezing in time. What do I do? Lord, tell me what to do. Larry, I've been telling you, you're not listening. But Lord, what you're telling me, I don't want to do. So tell me what to do that I want to do. Huh? Got it? See, I want to fix this, but I don't want to hurt this feeling, and I don't want to hurt that feeling. You know, I want to get it right, but you know, I just don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, you realize something. The Holy Spirit is making you feel uncomfortable. I don't have a right to want to feel comfortable. I'm not home yet. I'm going home. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. They ought to work on a song on that one too, Randy. Got a home there. But I'm not home yet. I'm homesick. And I don't even understand why I'm homesick, because I never got to see that home, but I know it's there. And the heart yearns to look at it. See, how can disaster control us when we belong to the King? We got a supper to go to, Lavocato, a supper to go to. And that supper had been prepared by a living God who loves us. Therefore, I'm homesick. But I ain't home yet. Does anybody know any military warrior who's ever had to leave home that didn't get homesick? But we had a war to fight. We had a job to do, right? I could be homesick, yearning to be there, but I'm not there yet. And the Lord said, I want you to find that peace before you get here. Because it could be a while before you leave planet Earth. But I want you to find peace while you're there. We're missing that, folks. I can tell you all day long about the hope that is in the by and by. But you need to understand the hope that's in the here and now, too. And you need to understand disaster that's going on and attacking you has no authority above your Creator on this earth or all that is to come. Perplexed but not in despair. Don't give up. Persecuted, comma. Christians throughout the world, including the United States of America, are being persecuted for their Christian faith. That's a fact. You stand up for Christ and watch and see what goes on. You stand up for what is right. Now, preacher, you no longer have a right to say that abortion's murder. Abortion's murder. I've said it. Homosexuality is sin. I've said it. You can't justify this garbage. But it's no worse or greater sin than any other sin. You can't justify it that way either. Sin is sin in the presence of God. Why does God say, I hate sin? Because what sin does to his children. You never hear God saying he hates us. And we're full of sin. I know the majority of you here, and I'm right. You're right up here with the pastor raising his hand, right? Yep. But you see, the Lord said, I know you. I know you. And Larry, when you're persecuted, I want you to know that you are not abandoned. You know what will get you depressed faster than anything? You believing that nobody cares. You feel abandoned. Nobody listens to me. Hey, don't use that part. Well, nobody listens to you, me. Well, nobody ever will listen to you, or me either. People say, how are you doing? People don't mean that. How are you doing? Yeah, you know, it's not everybody like you. Well, people, when you're meeting them and all that, hey, Larry Pete, how you doing? If I start telling them from physical and all, you know what they're going to do? Just keep walking away, mumbling. I'll pray for you. Well, get back here and pray for me right now then if you want to pray for me. Don't tell me that stuff. But God says you're not abandoned. You're down there and you're hurting and you're in misery and this tragedy seems to be overwhelming you. I want you to know you are not abandoned. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus did say that, didn't he? I believe it. I am not abandoned, Paul said. Then he says, struck down, comma. Now see, if he lived on that left side, he would never know the joys of the right. He would never know the joys. Struck down, but not destroyed. That comma is important here. Yes, this is where I am, he says. But all the positives are on the right side of the comma. What if I change that comma to a period? End of sentence. End of situation. No. The period is at the end. Here's life, hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. It's all on the left side of the comma. All on the right, but I'm not crushed, not in despair, and not abandoned, and not destroyed. Destruction. I can't be destroyed by man. Man has no authority to destroy your life. You know who will do the greatest damage to you? You. I have no trouble forgiving people. Now, I stay away from certain people, but I have no trouble forgiving folks. But there's one thing that I do know, that I cannot forgive one person for the crimes or the sins they've committed against another. Well, preacher, you need to forgive them. They didn't do anything to me. How can I forgive somebody for something when I wasn't even involved in it? You see, you and I are not Jesus. Jesus forgives all. But only, man, you listen to him. I remember an inmate years ago, vile, vile human being. I mean, vile, vile human being. To the point I shut him up in chapel, giving a testimony that he was bragging in his testimony about how vile he was. And I shut him up in front of all the other inmates. You know what he said? Chaplain, you have to forgive me. You're the chaplain. And I called him by name. I said, you hear me well, son. Even God doesn't forgive until man repents. And that tongue of yours does not project a repentant spirit. Now sit down and shut up. I was a little rough in those days. And do you know every inmate in that chapel stood up and applauded? I want you to think about that. You and I have no excuse. I don't have a right to go over here whining about anything. I got it made. I live in the United States of America. I live in the United States of America. Alan. Why do the children pay attention to the preacher? And when you live in freedom in America, what you got to fuss about? Paul said, I've been through this. Oh, read the book. And he really was. When disaster strikes, get on the right side of the comma. God's shelter, that's what's on the right side. Did you read that? Is always on the right side of the comma. Listen to Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells, takes up abode, lives, it's his home. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what children are? What they do? They love being in the shadow of the mama. Mama gets them. Daddy gets them. They know the shadow. Their eyes aren't focused yet. Don't need to be. They just know they're in the shadow. And that shadow they're in is a protecting shadow. You don't believe me? You mess with a mama's child. And you'll learn very quickly. And God says, you're the same way. Jesus tried to warn Jerusalem. All the nation. Oh, I wanted to take you under my wing like a mother hen. This is in his last week, as on Palm Sunday. He prayed before he went in. And he said, but you would not let me. Huh. That's a problem, folks. We still won't let God. We still try to do it ourselves. Lots going on. God's watching. But God's also there to protect. Larry, you call on me. I'll take care of it. I believe in specialists, and I believe certainly in parents need to be taking their kids to them. I believe in all of that. But I believe in the perfected specialist, Jesus Christ. My God, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. All of those to the right of the commas. You got me? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Christian, you live in the shadow of the Almighty. He doesn't even need to hear your voice. Look to him spiritually. It's like a baby looking at mama and a mama knowing what the baby wants just by the look. Knows the fussing cry. Knows the real cry. Knows the tears when hurt has come. How much more our Almighty. You know what brings us down? Our thoughts. Now you listen to me. You want to deal with whatever the situation is? God tells us, warns us to do this. Take hold of your thought. Take hold of your thoughts. When that thought comes, it's a bad thought. Take hold of it. Quickly. Recognize it's bad. Take hold of the thought. Change your thinking. How do you change thinking when you got a bad thought? Here's one. Look on the other side of the comma. Change your thinking, because if you don't change your thinking, you're going to be on the wrong side of that comma. There is going to be disaster. So that is the key for us from the human side. Why should I change my thought? I want you to think of the consequences. Think of how many people you're going to destroy. Not just you. Why? For a good time? For a good feeling? For a muscle spasm? Why? God said, I want you to pay attention. And I want you to understand, I am your shelter. Come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take the peace of God upon you and be blessed. Here's the key too, when you're dealing with it. I want you to know that that disaster will pass. It will pass. For today you think it's the most horrible day that I've ever had to live. The loss of a loved one. Will it pass?
Yeah.
Christian, you didn't lose them. You're going to see them pretty quick. You didn't lose them. Will it pass? What I looked at as disaster in my own life, in my own ministry, God used for His glory. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I'm not worthy of any of it. Guarantee you. But God says, I want you to understand. That disaster, as you see, is so bad, it'll pass. Do we not say this too shall pass so often? And does it not pass? Does the hurt get any better? Oh, folks, you're going to miss people. You're going to hurt for people. And that's going to last you throughout this earthly life here. You ain't seen the good yet. You see, it is the hope. My hope of my future is my hope of today, my present. Same to you. Don't quit. Don't give up, please. Don't give up and say, well, I can't. I don't know how to be a good Christian. Well, me neither. I don't even know what that means. What are you going to compare it to? Well, I want to compare it to Jesus. Well, you ain't good. Hey, you ain't good then. You're right. Me neither. What's going on with us? We're trying to go along with the way the world thinks. Well, now, is that a Christian act? They told Jesus he didn't act like a Christian. Going through the temple, kicking over tables with a whip. That ain't very Christian-like, is it? Not only that, he'd raising dead people they told him not to raise. Ha! He didn't listen to the hierarchy of the religious, whatever they were. Because when disaster strikes, my Jesus steps in. And when our Jesus steps in, Psalm 57:1, in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Oh, folks, that's New Testament in Psalms. I would have gathered him under my wings. You catching it? Until the disaster has passed. What mom doesn't grab their children in a storm? And put the children, just like a mother hen would, under their wings, around their arms, to protect them. Anything come through the window, they want it hitting them first. How much more the God who created us? How much more the one who says so much of how he loves us, that he sent his only begotten Son to give us the example of the ultimate love. Now you might say you want to do that, but you can't. You can't. If it were possible for us to do it, Jesus would not have had to die. But you can't. You can't do more than has already been done. I'm saved. My salvation is assured. Done. Done. My protection is assured. Done. They're the wings of God. As He puts His arms around us, like you will your children, to calm them down, to keep them from being so frightened, He said, come on to my shelter. Rest in my shadow. For outside that shadow, all hell has broken loose. But I'm resting in the shadows of my Lord. A shadow that even Satan himself refuses. He don't even want to get around the shadow of God, much less try to penetrate it. He knows. He knows his days are numbered. And do you know something? Yours aren't. Not like Satan's. You hear me? Now listen to me. You're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Even Satan ain't going to get to do that. A special part of hell just for the devil. Mark, I'd be a bad place, Brother Randy. Bad. You and I were resting in the ever-loving, everlasting arms of our Savior. And He says, I love you. And all He says is, won't you come? And I will give you rest. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your rest. We thank You for Your Word, Heavenly Father, and that You let us see what's on the right side of that comma. You let us see about life, Father, and to understand that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to make the mistakes. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be miserable. But we praise Your name, Father, that You let us know, but You don't have to wallow in it. Come to Me. And right in the middle of the mess, I'll bring a peace. I'll shine the light for you to let you see the hope that's right before you. Thank You, Father, for touching lives. Help us that we might be about Your business in all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.